Hey everybody, please join me in John chapter 18, beginning at verse 13, as we continue our look at the arrest and trials of Jesus. And last Sunday morning, we saw the arrest of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that passage, verses 1 through 12, we saw that Jesus has complete knowledge, that Jesus preserved his, that Jesus had overwhelming power, that Jesus preserved his people, and that Jesus was perfectly submissive to the Father's will. And we drew the conclusion really last week that all those characteristics of Jesus still impact us today because Jesus still holds us fast. He still preserves his people, even through difficult times and trials that we may face in our lives. In verse 13 of John chapter 18, I'd like to pick up right there. If you'd please follow along, we'll kind of do a run of commentary through this passage of Scripture. Verse 13, it says, "And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year." Now, why Annas? Why would they have taken him there? John MacArthur offers some suggestions on this I'd like to share with you. Number one, they may have been buying some time for the Sanhedrin, that's the ruling council over the Jews, over Israel, and to be gathered together at Caiaphas's house. Caiaphas, of course, was the high priest. Number two, Annas was one of the most powerful men in Jerusalem. He had served as high priest 20 years before, and for all practical purposes, he had controlled the high priesthood office ever since. Five of his sons had already succeeded him as high priest, and now his son-in-law, Caiaphas, had the title. Annas thus managed to control the high priesthood through his sons and son-in-law until the end of his life. As the real power behind the office, he also retained use of the title. Therefore, several times in the New Testament, he is referred to as the high priest. Even right here in John 18, he is referred to twice as being the high priest. In Luke chapter 3, verse 2, he is named along with Caiaphas as being the high priest. A high priest, plural. Annas and family had managed to turn the high priesthood into an incredibly profitable business, and they had amassed enormous amounts of wealth through it. For instance, the exchange rate of a Roman coins for Jewish currency was unfair. For instance, if you wanted a Jewish dollar, then you would have to trade, just as an example, maybe you would have to trade two Roman dollars to get one Jewish dollar. And the Jewish dollar is what you had to have in order to buy an animal to sacrifice to God at Passover. All right? So you see how unfair and how that was slanted toward padding Annas and the Caiaphas' pocketbooks. So Annas virtually owned the franchise on pre-certified sacrificial animals. He and the merchants who worked for him took full advantage of this situation and fixed unreasonably high prices on pre-certified animals, both at the Temple Mount and throughout the city of Jerusalem. Annas functioned very much like a modern-day crime boss. Okay? So you can think of whatever superhero movie you want to think of or whatever crime movie that comes to mind and think about a crime boss, someone who's really in control of all the crime that's going on in a city or in an area, but it all goes back to one guy who's controlling it. Annas was kind of that guy. He shows up again in Acts chapter 4 after Peter and John had healed the lame man in the temple. But not only Annas shows up there, but also some of his sons and his son-in-law. Verse 6, it says, "And as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem." Now, we need to remember that the expectation of the high priest in the Old Testament was like Malachi 2:7 says, where it says, "For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." That's not the case in this passage. Now, the next verse, verse 14, and I won't spend as long here as I did on verse 13. It says, now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. I hope you remember what he's talking about there. If you don't, you can turn back to John chapter 11 and read verses 49 through 52 and the verses surrounding that to give you the context. But it was Caiaphas there who, with one meaning for his words, said that Jesus must die for the nation, that it's better for one man to die for the nation. But God had a completely different meaning for those words. So just note that there, John 11, 49 through 52. All right, let's go to verse 15. So first of all, in verse 13 and 14, we saw Jesus in Annas, before Annas, the high priest. Now we're going to go to the courtyard on the outside. Verse 15, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now, that disciple was known to the high priest. Now, we don't know who this is. Some think it was John. Some think it might be Joseph of Arimathea or maybe Nicodemus, but we just don't know. And went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now, the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. So here we find Jesus in this area of the courtyard, and we see what he is doing as he's there. He's starting to warm himself. We see how he got in there. And you can imagine how awkward this might have been. So these officers are standing around, and they've got this fire going. And you would think that the officers were well aware of what happened out in the garden, that one of the disciples cut off one of the officers' ears. And if I were Peter and I were there and seeing these guys around trying to get warm, I'd probably have my head down, trying to do as little as I can to draw attention to myself so that they wouldn't realize that, hey, that's the guy out in the garden who was swinging at Malchus's head to try to cut off his head. And so you can see how awkward that possibly would have been. So it was here that Peter first denies Jesus, just like Jesus told him that he was going to do. Now, let's go to verse 19. This takes us back inside where Jesus is before Annas. Verse 19. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. All right, two interesting things. His disciples and his doctrine. Maybe here he's trying to find out if his disciples are seeking to revolt against the Romans. Trying to figure out what he's planning, trying to understand his doctrine, or he's asking him about it. Perhaps here he's looking for a way to accuse Jesus of blasphemy. Hopefully he'll say something that will cause Jesus or cause Annas to have the right to say that Jesus is blaspheming, or that he is trying to lead a revolt against the Romans so that he would clearly have an accusation against Jesus. See, there's a lot of different things that would be playing in here. But he asked him about his disciples and his doctrine. Verse 20, Jesus answered, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet." Remember, synagogues were like satellite campuses to the temple. They would have been in communities where at least 10 Jewish men or families lived, and if 10 were there, then they would be able to begin a synagogue. It was kind of like a temple away from the temple. But he says, "I spoke openly to the world, always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where the Jews always meet, and I, in secret, I have said nothing." Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. Jesus seems to be saying here, listen, Annas, if you wanted to know what I was saying or what I taught, you could have come and listened to me yourself. That would not have been a problem, but you refused to do so. You would not listen to my doctrine. You would not listen to my teaching. And if you're wondering what I taught, my witness, it doesn't matter, but go and ask my disciples. But we know Jesus has protected his disciples from being captured, and they've all scattered except for this, except for Peter and perhaps John, who's still there in the courtyard. Now, in verse 22, after Jesus responded in this way, we see how one of the officers responded to him. And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. So here, when this officer strikes Jesus, this is the first of many times that Jesus is going to be beaten within the next few hours. It's the most remarkable example of someone suffering wrongly. And it's a wonderful example for us. Maybe you're suffering wrongly right now. Maybe you're being mistreated right now in some way. I hope this passage will help you find comfort, knowing that there is one who has gone before us, Jesus Christ. And I hope that we'll take it to heart when we are mistreated or not given our rights, that we have a great high priest who's gone into the heavens and is seated at the right hand of God and who makes intercession for us. That brings us to the last portion that we're going to look at today in verses 25 through 27. Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore, they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter denied again, and immediately the rooster crowed. There were four watches of the night, the evening watch from 6 to 9, the midnight watch from 9 to 12, the cock crowing from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m., and then the morning from 3 to 6. It could be and is likely that Jesus was already at Caiaphas's, because they would have been really across the courtyard from one another. Annas' residence on one, Caiaphas's on the other. Jesus would have been led through the courtyard to Caiaphas's house. And in Luke 22, verse 61, we learn there that right after Peter denied Jesus for the third time, the Bible tells us that Jesus turned and looked at Peter. So they're very close in proximity to one another, even able to see one another. And just like Jesus predicted, just like Jesus told Peter, he denied him three times. And we see here the difference ultimately between Judas and Peter. Judas betrayed Jesus. What Peter did was just as bad because he denied Jesus. And we find the two having two different responses. Judas went and hanged himself. He was remorseful, but then he went and hanged himself. He committed suicide. Peter, however, was remorseful, but yet he came back to the Lord and he was restored into the ministry, as we'll see later on in the Gospel of John. This is a terrible experience for Peter, but we should think about how often we fail the Lord. One minute, we'll be excited and on fire for God and willing to attack hell with a squirt gun if we need to. But then on the next minute or the next day or the next hour, we're afraid, we're cowardly, we've lost our zeal, and we're not ready to stand for the Lord. Let us take heart from Peter that he was the same way. Let's not try to be that way. Let's realize that God has chosen the weak things of the world, and that he uses us even in our frailties to accomplish his purpose, and he is a gracious and merciful Savior. I'll see you next time as we continue on with the trial of Jesus before Pilate in John chapter 18.